Ryan Dixon and Rory Boylan host Tape to Tape, the hockey podcast by Sportsnet.
I hear some people been talking me down. Bring off my name.
Welcome to Tape to Tape, T2T, playoff edition. That's right, friends. We are at the beginning of the wonderful journey, the NHL playoffs, kicking off on Wednesday, April 11th. I'm Ryan Dixon. I'm a writer for Sportsnet.ca. In the studio, as always, to share in this excitement, Sportsnet's NHL editor, Rory Boylan.
I know, Ryan, you have some difficult decisions to make filling out your awards ballot here before the games start on Wednesday. This might be pretty tricky, too, filling out our brackets. I know there are some series I'm really torn on, and we're going to fill these out as we go. We haven't done it in advance. We're going to do this kind of live on the show.
It's sort of on the fly. That's right. Yeah. We have obviously been paying attention. I did some number crunching last night on both the awards ballot and the playoffs. They kind of go hand in hand. Yeah, my goodness. So let me throw this at you. Okay. So I'm going to pick Winnipeg and Nashville. We haven't talked about this, but so are you. That's two of the eight series. Mm-hmm. You could convince me either way in the other six. Of course, I'm leaning a certain way, but this is to say, out of eight series, there's only two where I'm going to pick a winner and go, yeah, like I'll be shocked if something other than this happens. Right. How many series do you think, off the top of your head, out of the eight, that you will confidently, I won't even say bet your life on, but right, you'll feel real good about your pick?
Boy, oh boy. It probably is those two. I mean, yeah. There's another one that I feel pretty good about, too, but
I
wouldn't go that far. So I wouldn't be that secure.
So you're at least a three of eight. So let's dive into it. What we're going to do is go through the Eastern Conference bracket. We're going to do a short reset, come back, do the West, and then we will pick a winner. We'll talk about the teams more in depth as we kind of throw them over the rope, so to speak, to use a little wrestling lingo. When we talk about a team going out or when one of us has one going out, that's when we'll dive in. And as the teams that move on, we'll wait until we bury them to discuss what their shortcomings might be. All right, so we'll start in the Eastern Conference. We'll start in the Atlantic, since Tampa Bay is the top seed in the East. They've got the New Jersey Devils. Yes, I'm going to pick Tampa, but I think anyone who watched Taylor Hall down the stretch, I think anyone who knows Nico Hischier is a sneaky good already two-way 50-plus point guy. Yes, Taylor Hall had basically twice as many points as anyone else on that team, but they are a fast squad that gets contributions up and down the lineup. I'm going to say this, I don't know how many times, but I think this can be a series.
Oh, I think it could be a series too. There is a path for the New Jersey Devils to win this one, and that's to be all over the Tampa Bay Lightning defense, which has been really bad for the second half of the season since January 1, a bottom five team in shot suppression, and that really took Andrei Vasilevskiy out of the Vezina trophy race. His save percentage has been a very average, below average, .907 since that time. So you put up a Taylor Hall, who's had this MVP season, and he's sure who you touched on there, a defense that is a little underrated for the New Jersey Devils and the way it can generate a little bit of offense, too. I think that if they get in on these guys, that they can create some scoring chances and take advantage. But as for picking the series, I have to go with Tampa Bay because they can match anybody's offense with what they can throw at you. So I think New Jersey's, you know, they're playing with house money here. They're happy to be here. It's all gravy. But this is going to be a really stiff test against a team that has Stanley Cup hopes. I'm not picking Tampa Bay to win the Cup, spoiler alert, but I am going to pick them to get out of this first round. Really tough to actually go ahead and pick the Devils here.
Nice season by the Devils.
Really nice.
More than nice. A team that we buried right off the hop along with the Detroit Red Wings, and great coaching staff. One of those staffs that you talk to people around the game, they have so much respect for John Hines and what that group has done, and they've really reinvigorated a franchise that, you know, maybe it had some direction, but we didn't know how quickly it was moving down the path. But man, Ray Shiro and the rest of that crew has things pointed in the right direction and should continue to go on the upswing. I said we were going to do the Atlantic, but we kind of have to save Leafs Bruins for the end, sure. I think. So let's do the Metro. We'll jump over and start with the Caps and Columbus. This is juicy. No one confidently picks the Washington Capitals for anything in the NHL.
Yeah.
Then again, you look at Columbus, nice mix, but not great special teams. Sergei Bobrovsky, historically in the playoffs, not a great goalie.
Yeah.
Is there anything to be said? And, you know, I'll fully out myself as someone who still says the sentence, I still just have a feeling. Like, do you ever just think one of these times or the circumstances are right for Washington when this time nobody is really looking at them to do something? And, you know, I assume it's going to be Philip Grubauer. They get a little different dynamic going on. Is there anything? We're talking about the team that's going to have home ice advantage, but is there a strong reason for you to pick Washington?
No, I actually don't really feel that great about Washington. This is the one series I alluded to where I feel pretty confident about picking Columbus here, but I wouldn't be as confident as picking Winnipeg or Nashville. Look, I don't buy that this team in Washington can fly under the radar and they're not going to have that pressure because it's the same players. Alex Ovechkin,
right.
Nicholas Backstrom, like they know what the expectation is for them here. This team was never going to be weighed or judged by what it did in the first 82 games. It starts now, and there's no question that they are thinner than they have ever been, certainly than they were last year. Their starting goalie, Braden Holtby, has been really bad this year, a really huge down year for him, so it looks like it will be going to Grubauer. How long is the leash for him? If he has a bad game one, do you go back to Holtby, given that Grubauer has been the best goalie for them, really, from beginning to end? I don't think they're deep enough to line up against Columbus. Columbus was a team that you thought that they were going to take over this division given everything Washington lost, and they really struggled for the first half of the season, or probably a little bit more than that. Now the offense is going. Artemi Panarin set a new franchise record for points. Dubois has moved up to that first line with him, and he has been such a huge part of this surge in the second half too as that number one center. And then Thomas Vanek coming over, really giving them a secondary scoring punch, and that line drives play, drives shots and scoring chances, and they outscore the opponents by a huge margin. So it seems like they have some depth. Seth Jones stepped up. He might be getting some Norris Trophy conversation. Zach Werenski still is a huge producer for them too. And Sergei Bobrovsky, if he didn't have just one bad month, I think he's in the conversation with Pekka Rinne for the Vezina. Obviously, like you mentioned, still has a lot of proving to do in the playoffs, but I think this is a guy that it's just a matter of time before he does start proving that. This team looks deep. They can play you almost any kind of way, and they're coming in hot. Washington, maybe not so much, so I'm going to go with Columbus here.
I'm just going to jump in and say it's funny that I feel like without really digging into it, there's a weird little trend going on with goalies here in the playoffs where there are some who either are playing well, but there's some reason to not trust them, i.e. Bobrovsky has a bad playoff history.
True.
Connor Hellebuck doesn't have a playoff history. Pekka Rinne's 35. Those guys have looked good this year, but you're kind of like, but will they stay good?
Yeah.
And then you have guys like Matt Murray, who's won the Stanley Cup the past couple of years, who's at 900 right now. I mean, Freddie Anderson has been great for the Leafs for the majority of the year, but, you know, since his injury, he hasn't been super great.
Yeah.
But he seems like someone who could go out and put a 950 up in a series.
Yeah.
It's this weird dynamic where the guys who have been good, it's easy to go, I wonder if they'll stay good. And the guys who haven't been great, you're like, when it counts, those guys might be there.
Yeah, especially with Anderson, guys like that who have played with such a heavy workload, games played, shots faced, and everything like that. Can they sustain that level of play through the season? Are they going to get fatigued at some point? I don't worry so much about a guy like Connor Hellebuck in that regard because this is his first go-through with that kind of workload. But Anderson has had to deal with this before, Rinne certainly as well, so there are legitimate questions about fatigue level setting in I look at this series, Washington, Columbus, and I really love Columbus coming into this. I can understand wanting to pick Washington. Maybe they do fly under the radar here and there isn't much pressure. I'm having trouble buying that.
You got Jackets, I got Jackets. We're on the same page so far. Pittsburgh, Philly, probably the most talked about one, wouldn't you think? I mean, people, other than the series your team is in, this is the one you're looking forward to. 2012, the absolutely zany series, yeah. 1-6 games by the Flyers. The team's averaged 9 goals per game in that, and I don't know how many fights. Battle of PA, baby. I'm taking Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm taking Pittsburgh too. This is a tough call because you mentioned Matt Murray. He's been very average for them this year, very inconsistent, where they've had to use Tristan Jarry and Casey DeSmith at different points this season. That's the worry I have. But the reason why I'm taking Pittsburgh, obviously they have the star power. If you keep Crosby, Malkin, and Kessel spread out across three lines, that's just a line matchup nightmare for any team. Philadelphia, I don't know if they have the depth to match up to that. Nolan Patrick has really stepped into the number two center role with Jake Voracek on his wing, and that line has been clicking here for the last little while. But he's a rookie. It's his first time through. He's going to be matched up against Crosby or Malkin probably as often as they can get them out on the ice. That's going to be a really difficult match for him to handle. I love Philadelphia's young blue line, but they are young, and they're going to be facing the back-to-back champs that are going to be all over them too. So I can't pick the back-to-back champs to lose in the first round against a team that's a little inexperienced and has its own goaltending issues here. I mean, Brian Elliott just came back for the final two games of the season here and looked great in one and not so great in the other one, and that's just the thing with Elliott. You never know what you're going to get from one game to the next. Last year with Calgary, he got them into the playoffs on a high note and then completely checked out, and that was the end of the Calgary season. So because of that, I mean, it's always the problem in Philadelphia, goaltending. So I'm going with the Pittsburgh
Penguins.
He's
emblematic of that whole team, really, where they can get super hot, right? I mean, they've been they've been down, so we'll see if they can catch a little tailwind. But yeah, like you said, tough to bet against the Pens. All right. The big series here in our parts. The rematch, again, 2013. Of course, we all know how that one went down for the blue and white. Toronto Maple Leafs back-to-back years in the playoffs for the first time since the lost season. In the new era of hockey, they are playing, we maybe sometimes forget, just a really surprisingly good Boston Bruins team. There is a lot to dive into here. Start at the top where the best line in hockey, Bergeron, between Marchand and Pasternak, going up head-to-head, at least in Boston, against Austin Matthews, Zach Hyman, William Nylander. You have two goalies who, I mean, Rask obviously has a longer history, a better resume, but two goalies who've really shown that they're capable of carrying a team. The Bruins have quite a mix, really enviable mix of the guys who've been there and the, you know, new guys who've come along, starting, of course, on the top pair with McAvoy alongside 41-year-old Zdeno Chara. I'm going to take the blue and white because even if, and I think it's a fair thought to say Bergeron neutralizes or even gets the jump on Matthews, the reason you kept JVR and didn't trade him, if that was ever the real thought, is the depth of scoring. And I think the Leafs can win the battle everywhere else. And I'll just say Anderson's going to be a little better than Rask. Mm-hmm. And I think they'll win a close one.
Yeah, I mean, you can't sleep on the Leafs here. This is a legitimate team that could, I mean, if they upset the Bruins here, I would love the matchup against the Tampa Bay Lightning. I was, I would have picked the Maple Leafs over the Lightning, I think, in round one of these playoffs, although it would have been really close. I'm having a hard time here. I think I have to pick Boston because even though Toronto actually won this season series 3-1, I think Boston can just play you any kind of way, and in the playoffs it's a different game. It's a tighter checking one. The sticks maybe get used a little bit more. It's more of a grinded out game. Boston is a top defensive team, a top team in terms of goaltending, in terms of generating offense. They have size, strength. They have smaller guys with speed. Get it in the corners, get it to the front of the net. They can be tough to match up against there. and that's why I have to go with Boston, because they just have it all and they can play you any way you want. Where Toronto, I mean, they're going to win by their goals, right? They're not going to shut you down defensively or anything like that. I mean, you might get Freddie Anderson hot for a few games and he steals a series for you that way, and certainly you can't rule that out. But if I'm just looking at this right now, I think I'm having to go with the Boston Bruins. I think an X factor here for the Leafs is going to be Nazem Kadri, because he obviously is not just a shutdown center. He is one of the top goal scorers in the league over the last 2 years. I think he's top 15 in goals. Can he still get that kind of production against a Boston Bruins team that is going to check him very tightly, and the rest of that line, which was going very well towards the end of the season here? Matthews needs to get his. Can the Kadri line continue to get theirs?
All right, so in the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs, you've got Tampa Bay and Boston going at it, and we both got Columbus and Pittsburgh. I'm jumping on your bandwagon. It's got to end sometime. It's got to end sometime. I think maybe CLB, the Blue Jackets, find a way to upset Pittsburgh in the second round.
This is the more difficult series for me to pick than the one above it in Tampa Bay and Boston. I love Columbus, but I would have liked them more against Pittsburgh if they had home ice advantage, because Pittsburgh's home and road splits are ridiculously off. They are terrible on the road and fantastically good at home. What I worry about with Columbus is their penalty kill. Special teams are so much more in the spotlight in the playoffs. It's harder to score at 5-on-5, and you really need to take advantage when you're given those power plays. They have one of the worst penalty kills in the league. Pittsburgh has the best power play in the league, the best since the Washington Capitals, I think, in 07-08. It's been a while. One of the best of all time. So this is why this is really tricky. My brain is telling me to pick the Pittsburgh Penguins here because of that factor, but I'm going to go with the Columbus Blue Jackets because I like how they're coming into the playoffs hot. Everything I said before about this team, I feel like I have to ride this wave.
All right, so why don't you keep riding the wave? I get the suspicion you like the Bees over TB in the Atlantic Final.
Yeah, I just think Tampa Bay is coming in a little sour, a little slow, and I don't like that defense and what it's done to Vasilevsky. Maybe it turns on here in the playoffs, but I think Boston can just match up very, very well against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa can score, but Boston can keep up with them in that regard, and I think it would do them on defense. So I think this is actually a quicker series than many people would think.
Really?
It was. Yeah, I think this could be a five-gamer.
I'm here to stump for the Tampa Bay Lightning. I do think, I know it's really been a season of two halves. You're right, defensively things have not gone great for the team in the past few months. But I think it's easy to overlook just how deep they are. I still think Vasilevsky is a good goalie, and I think this is going to become Victor Hedman's time to shine, and Ryan McDonagh as well. Not that anyone expected him to come and put up big points in Tampa, but I just love that dynamic of, even if overall the D it's hard to love, I mean, they are going to ride Hedman, and this is just where things are going to crystallize in terms of, you know, we mentioned the awards. People are going to be saying like, oh, do you have Kucherov on your ballot for the Hart? Yeah, some people will. But you know what? Victor Hedman is the guy who is the heart and soul of that team in terms of night to night, logging those minutes. Like, that's the guy they couldn't play without. They would far rather say, you know, take the series off Nikita than Hedman, than any other skater on the team. So I just see that Yzerman's vision kind of coming together here of having those two big guys. That's why I am going to pick Tampa to beat the Leafs in the second round. So that puts me at Tampa Columbus. You got Boston Columbus. I might as well keep going. Yes, I'm going back to the preseason notion that the Tampa Bay Lightning can win the East. I agree with, I like how things are coming together in Columbus. Panarin, God, what a fit there. And, remember when it was controversial to take Dubois at number 3 overall? Yeah, that's starting to really pan out, no doubt. But like I said, I just think sometimes we get a little bogged down in talking about a team's deficiencies. We lose sight of the fact that they got Stamkos and Point as their top two centers. I think Tampa can get it together. I like the coach there. I think Tampa, it's funny. You always try to avoid sort of being completely chalk, as they say in these instances. And I am taking the team with the most points in the East, but I actually feel like, I mean, the safer bet is probably the one, you're going to tell us about Boston or Pittsburgh, right? I think that most people will have, I think Boston, Pittsburgh will lead Eastern Conference brackets in terms of an East finalist, but I'm going to go with the Bolts.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably three teams here with Tampa too that these are going to be the most popular picks. So I have Boston, Columbus here in my Eastern Conference final. I really want to pick Columbus. I really like this team right now, but I can't go with them because of that penalty kill. It's, again, one of the worst in the league. Even just since March 1st, it's 22nd in the league, killing 75% of its penalties. So it's not coming in better. It's not trending up or anything like that. So I just can't pick them to win this series and come all the way through the Eastern Conference because of that. So I'm going to go with the well-rounded Boston Bruins.
Man, tough to argue given everything the Bruins have put together, especially in, you know, the second half or final three quarters, really, of the season. Bruce Cassidy, what a job he's done in the last year and a half coming in there. I am not going to argue too hard, but like I said, I will stump for those Tampa Bay Lightning. That's my Eastern finalist. Rory has Boston. The Western Conference is up next. Come back. On the other side of the break, we're diving in to the Wild Wild West on Tape to Tape.
Six cents of memory runs a river near all the travel up the parkway, getting frozen in the snow.
Welcome back to Tape to Tape. We have already sorted out the Eastern Conference. We think we've got it all figured out. Rory's got the Boston Bruins in the 2018 Stanley Cup Final. I have their Atlantic Division rivals, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the number one seed in the East. You might forget sometimes, given all the love out there for the two-time defending cup champs in Pittsburgh and the top-to-bottom menacing Bruins. Time to dive into the West. So I would think we could do the Central real quick here. You're going to pick Nashville. I'm going to pick Nashville. We're both going to pick the Jets. So let's spend a moment on Nashville, Colorado, over under five games. Do you think Colorado gives them a real shake?
I could see Colorado maybe winning one home game, but not anything more than that. This is a 4 or 5 game series to me. You know, very successful season for the Colorado Avalanche, and there's a lot of promise in their future. Coming into the season, there was a lot of knocking being done on their defense. Like, how are they going to fill out this blue line? It looked terrible. Then the Matt Duchene trade happened. Sam Girard comes in. He's logging 20 minutes a night right away. That's kind of slowed to just over 17 minutes, I think. But he's been a huge part of their power play all season long. And then they have Connor Timmins coming. They have all sorts of guys coming up through their system. This blue line is going to be stocked full before too long, and some exciting young players up front as well. But right now they're a one-line team led by Nathan McKinnon's line. Their third line with Carl Soderberg in the center, it's not so much an offensive line. It is really a traditional shutdown unit, and they are very good on the penalty kill. But that's not going to do you much good, I don't think, against the Nashville Predators that can throw three or four really excellent scoring lines at you. I just think there's too much against Nashville.
Yeah, people are fond of bringing up the fact that, of course, Nashville was in Colorado's position as the last team to qualify. But there were all kinds of indicators that Nashville was better than that record. And I think, yes, of course, it was a shock to see them go out and just sweep aside the Chicago Blackhawks. But
and Colorado's without Eric Johnson, too.
And that's right.
That's a huge
loss.
That's
a tough one. And Minnesota's without Ryan Suter. And Jared Spurgeon is probably not at 100% even if he's playing.
Yeah,
I mean, even with those two guys, I think we like Winnipeg, but without them, again, I feel like this is more of a, you know, will it go more than five games situation? Maybe Devin Dubnyk really catches hot. Minnie's a crafty team, but I just feel like the Wild are just outgunned by that. The Jets are so deep up front now.
Yeah, I think if you have a 100% healthy Spurgeon and Suter, that changes the equation here a little bit. I think you could make a case for Minnesota. They score more than you think they do, and their goaltending is really good, obviously. But given the injury situations here, it sounds like Jacob Trouba is going to be fine for the Winnipeg Jets, so they're coming in basically 100%. The Paul Stastny trade that they made at the deadline had just completely changed the outlook of this team. That line with him and Nick Ehlers and Patrick Laine is just unbelievable, and it's your secondary scoring line behind Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler, who probably has been the MVP of this team this season, certainly their number one leader. And just a defense that is so deep, you know, going up against a team in Minnesota that's banged up, I don't know how you come out of this picking the Wild. I see the Winnipeg Jets in five, maybe six games.
There is a lot of pick'ems or close to pick'ems out there, but is there a bigger coin flip in the first round than San Jose Sharks, Anaheim Ducks?
Maybe Vegas, LA. This Pacific division is really difficult.
The pick'em Pacific.
Yeah. So San Jose, obviously, since the trade deadline, picking up Evander Kane has been a much different team. They were on fire. Now they slowed right at the end of the season here, so they aren't coming in on a high note. But certainly they are looking like a very good team. You got to wonder if Joe Thornton is going to come back here for them before too long. Probably not 100%, but he played through all sorts of injuries in the playoffs last year, and the season last year too, and was still very, very good. My preseason Stanley Cup pick were the Anaheim Ducks. I feel like I have to stick with this team. They're 8-1-1 in their past 10, coming in. Since March 1st, I think they're just behind Winnipeg and Nashville in terms of record in the Western Conference. I mean, they're coming in hot. Even if John Gibson isn't ready to go, which it looks like he probably will be, Ryan Miller's got a .923 save percentage this season, a very excellent backup and certainly one who is experienced. Ryan Getzlaff can take over a series on his own. And then you also have guys like Ricard Raquel, Corey Perry. Maybe he's got a little something extra there. I love the blue line on this team still. Remember the trade they made in November, sending off Sammy Vatanen to New Jersey and getting Adam Henrique because they had no centers anymore. They were decimated by injuries at the start of the season. Well, now that's a point of depth because you've got Getzlaff and Kessler as your top two centers, and Adam Henrique is a very good third-line center. Andre Cash is one of the wingers on that line, and his season has really flown under the radar. He's more than a 20-goal scorer.
Just like Ricard Raquel before him,
for
right?
Sure.
Like,
yeah,
for
sure.
For a couple years until they all realize.
And that's a kind of scoring level that maybe we didn't see from this team at the beginning of the season, but they were able to overcome all those injuries at the start, and they're coming in very, very hot. I'm going with Anaheim here.
I am too, but the Fowler injury concerns me a bit because, I mean, he's such a great skater and puck mover, but yeah, Getzlaff's playoff beast mode, I feel like that it could tip the scales right there. Of course, San Jose would be a different team if they had a healthy Joe Thornton in the middle. He was having a really good year before the knee injury. You mentioned we think Gibson's good to go. I kind of feel like maybe that's where the Ducks are going to get a bit of an advantage, is if he's back. I mean, he's been, you know, upwards of .930 this season. I like Gibson just that much more than Martin Jones. So I'm going with the Southern California guys as well. Okay, we've arrived at the point in the podcast where we get to doubt Las Vegas all over again. Yeah, I'm taking the Kings. The bounce back year from Anze Kopitar, we were talking about it before we got rolling. I mean, I don't want to say you can make an ironclad case that this guy should win the Hart Trophy, but man,
you make a good one.
You can make a really good one. It's tough to argue against, I would say that. Drew Doughty, I mean, all these guys under John Stevens have had, it's a different team. Drew Doughty, his highest point total of his career. I mean, Dustin Brown, we wrote Dustin Brown off 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Twice as many goals this year, 28, as he had last year, 14. I in no way think Vegas is going to wilt, and I absolutely think it's, like you said, both these series are super close,
but
it just kind of feels like, I don't want to say this is the last stand of the LA Kings, but it's them reminding us that there's still a lot of pieces there, and they modernized, and I just think they got a little too much at the top end for Vegas.
Yeah, so we were having this discussion on the Hockey Central Saturday show, and I think this is a really tough series to pick. There's not a lot of difference between them in power play percentage, penalty kill percentage, but who's got the best forward? It's L.A. with Anze Kopitar. Who's got the best defenseman? It's L.A. with Drew Doughty. Who's got the best goalie? That's maybe where you can make a case for Marc-Andre Fleury, but it's really close, especially given Jonathan Quick's playoff history. This guy is a beast, although he wasn't 2 years ago. The last time the Kings were here, he kind of wilted. He had a sub-900 save percentage, so if he can't give them something better than that, obviously this is going to be very short for the LA Kings. Vegas had this huge advantage, the Vegas flu at the start of the season anyway, where nobody could beat them on home ice. That's cooled the last month or so, a little bit more than a month. They've been just a little bit above 500 at home, but their road record has been a lot better. You know, I think I was coming in here picking the LA Kings, and I'm going to switch, and I'm going to pick the Vegas Golden Knights. What I would worry about it here for the LA Kings, I do like them a lot, and they could certainly come out of the Western Conference. I would worry about Vegas being able to skate past them, skate around them, beat them in transition, and just be able to play that speedy game a little bit more. The playoffs maybe lend themselves to maybe favor that heavy hockey a little bit more than the regular season. I've been doubting Vegas all season. I don't want to do it here, so I'll give them a round. I'm going to give them a win.
Does that mean you got Anaheim over Vegas in the Pacific final?
Yeah, again, Anaheim's my preseason cup pick, and it's kind of gone how I thought. They were hurt at the beginning of this season. I thought this team is going to get healthy, and when they do get healthy, they're going to be really difficult to stop, and sure enough, they got healthy, and they finished the season very, very strong here, so I just feel like I have to stick with that.
All right, so I said Philly Pittsburgh is the series everyone is talking about. Everyone, even if you're not a fan of the team, is going to be easily invested in that series. I think another one that fits that billing that we just all assume we're getting is Winnipeg-Nashville. Everyone is anticipating a clash of these two teams in the second round. Look, here's what it comes down to for me. It's just so hard to poke a hole in Nashville. I mean, Winnipeg has so many good elements, maybe a better forward crew even than Nashville.
You could say that.
But man, that defense with Ryan Ellis playing the way he has since he came back. I mean, it's one thing to be Tampa and be able to have Hedman out there all the time, or between Hedman and McDonough, one of them out there all the time. But to have your top four guys just so good and have, you know, more than two-thirds of the time, you're going to have four defensemen on the ice who you just trust so much. Who knows? I mean, maybe, like I said, Rene's 35. Don't forget, last year when Nashville was going to the final, there was a little bit of a can-they-win-with-Pekka-Rene notion. But, mind you, they also have someone pretty good in the bullpen in Saros. It's obviously in coin flip territory when teams finish as close as they have, when a team is as good as Winnipeg is, but I just can't come up with a solid reason to pick against Nashville, so I'm putting them in the West final.
Okay, so here's my one thing that I'd be worried about Nashville. Although their penalty kill is very good, one of the better ones in the league, they were shorthanded more times than anybody else in the NHL this season by 18. So that's a problem. They can't stay out of the penalty box. They need to figure this out. Even down the stretch since March 1st, easily the most penalized team in the NHL. But this was a problem for Winnipeg for years. I remember they had a referee, I don't remember who it was now off the top of my head, come to their training camp and talk to them about this and get them off this. Now, on the season, Winnipeg is still the fourth most penalized team, but since February 1, they're down around 10 or something like that, so they seem to be improving, where Nashville still in that time was easily the most penalized team. That's where I think Winnipeg can get an advantage here. You don't want to allow those offensive weapons to come out a lot with power play advantages. So if Winnipeg can get that advantage, have more power plays than the Nashville Predators, I think that's their path to winning this series. You're right about Nashville's defense, though. I mean, the highest scoring defense in the league by a pretty good margin. A lot of weapons from the front, from the back, from everywhere. It's almost a coin flip in this series, and I'm having a really hard time picking. But because of the lack of discipline on Nashville and the fact that it wasn't getting any better, I'm going to lean with Winnipeg here. And I think that's a risk because we don't know what Connor Hellebuyck is going to give us. He hasn't played in the playoffs as a pro. The last time he did was in the NCAA. He went to one Frozen Four and lost in the first round there, got to a regional final in his other season in the NCAA. So that's the wild card. What's Connor Hellebuyck going to do? But I think I'm going to bet with him and bet with this Winnipeg Jets team and have them in the West Final.
I like it. So you've got a Ducks-Jets. I, in case it wasn't clear, also have the Ducks nudging the Kings in an all-California Pacific Final. So I've got Ducks Preds. I am sticking with the number one seed in the West in a West rematch of last year. So I'll put Nashville in the final against Tampa Bay. You've got Winnipeg against Anaheim. Man, that would be fun. The old savvy dogs versus the guys who are trying to break through.
Chance for a little revenge for Winnipeg after getting swept by the Ducks a couple years ago.
In a very close four-game series.
Yeah, it was closer than it looked. Again, I'm going with Anaheim. I have to pick the team that I picked preseason to come in. The more experienced team, the team that is, they're both coming in hot, but I just think Anaheim can play that speedy game, but this is a team that's going to be able to grind down Winnipeg, play them better physically, good special teams too, and their goalie, John Gibson, hopefully he's healthy. Through this whole run, I'm going with the Anaheim Ducks. I feel pretty confident about that.
All right. Well, you've got what sounds like an old school final, Anaheim-Boston. But let's be real. It's really about the speed and skill that those teams have. Certainly some guys who can lean on you. But, two teams that in the, in the past decade, just a decade plus, Anaheim, the 2007 Cup winners, still some guys from that team. Yep. Boston, of course, still the core, numerous guys, important guys from the team that won in 2011, went to the final in 2013. I've heard you say it already. Anaheim was your preseason pick and you had to stick with them. So do you deviate now at the 11th hour?
No, I'm going with the Anaheim Ducks. Like you said, 2007 was their last Stanley Cup championship. Corey Perry and Ryan Getzlaf were on that team, but they weren't the lead dogs. That was Timu Solani's team that year and a bunch of other veterans, of course, that they had. They were very early in their career. These guys are still looking for the Stanley Cup on the team that they lead. And I think you get this far. This is a series Getzlaf, I think, could be all over the ice and just a demon. This is a coin flip. This one could go either way if it is an Anaheim-Boston final, but because of I've kind of locked myself into this pick, and the season has gone as I thought it might in Anaheim, so I'm going to go with the Ducks.
In a sense, I have to already say I like your pick better than mine, because here I am. You try to avoid it every year, but here I am with the number one seed in the West and the number one seed in the East meeting in the final, though again, I will say, Tampa probably isn't the most popular pick heading into the postseason. The reason I will take Nashville to win it all is just that the team that got so close last year and made it to six games against the Pittsburgh Penguins just was decimated down the middle. Yeah. And now to come back with Johansson and the acquisition of Turris, I mean, it's almost a different team when you have those two guys versus the team that was still so close last year. So, I mean, I know it's a lot of hockey in 2 years. Pittsburgh's proved that it can be done. But you're picking the same team to go to the final, but you're really picking a different team when you throw those two guys at the top. So I like Nashville.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously the wild card here for every team is, how healthy are you going to stay through these four rounds with Nashville. If they get hit by injuries this year, I mean, who's the first guy that you're going to put into this lineup if he doesn't start right away? It's Eli Tolvanen, who had a massive season in the KHL, hasn't had a great showing yet in the NHL, but it's a totally different game, totally different ice surface and everything like that. But I feel really good putting him into my lineup if I have to, much better than I did Colton Sissons coming into the lineup last year, right? Just the skill level of this guy. So that's where Nashville sits right now. It's certainly not a bad pick. This is one of the teams that I wouldn't have minded picking to come out of the West and win the Stanley Cup either. They are the deepest team probably in the league right now.
Yeah, man, just make sure we get that second round matchup with the Jets, because it is going to be fun. All right, there you have it. Rory has the Anaheim Ducks, I would say, in a sense, finally breaking through, even though they have won, they have hung a banner, but a team that, for 5-6 years, it feels like there's been a little more there.
Mm-hmm.
punching through to win the cup. I've got Nashville making good on its promise last year. What a ride it was for that town, that team. So much fun to go to the final, some unfinished business. It would be great to see a guy like David Poile finally actually close it out and get that ring after an amazing life in the game. Last year, the first time in 30 plus years that one of his teams, he's always got good teams, but the first time one of them got all the way to the cup final. So we shall see. The most important part isn't what we think is going to happen. It's that we know these playoffs are just around the corner. The first round of the NHL playoffs, man, absolutely one of the most fun times in sports. Make sure you're checking out sportsnet.ca for all the coverage. Come back for a tape-to-tape podcast, probably about halfway through the first round, I think, maybe around after the game fours. You can always find that on sportsnet.ca. Subscribe in iTunes. Follow Rory on Twitter, at Rory Boylan, myself, Dixon on Sports. Check back next week for more Glass Rattlin' hockey playoff action on Tape to Tape.